The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 9 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Marie-Catherine Goudreau, and here are today's headlines. Kids' vaccination will soon be approved, a wish list for Quebec's upcoming mini-budget, and should officials be able to force psychiatric patients into treatment. COVID cases are on the rise among kids in Quebec, but good news, Health Canada is expected to approve the Pfizer vaccination tomorrow for kids from 5 to 11 years old. This mirrors the Food and Drug Administration approval of the same vaccine in the U.S. a few weeks ago. Delphine Belzin joins us in the studio to tell us more. Delphine, how is this news received by parents with young kids?
Well, it's a relief for parents to know they'll be getting their kids vaccinated. Katia Grubisik, mother of a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, says her children also won their COVID-19 doses. They both acknowledge how their grandparents are vulnerable to the disease and they want to protect them.
And as much as a 4- and a 6-year-old can have free will and exercise that free will, they all make the decision themselves based on everything they know about, you know, the lockdowns, about their friends who can't participate fully, about our grandparents being, you know, more vulnerable. But it's not going to be like me dragging them, you know, into something against their will.
Why is vaccinating 5 to 11 years old is so important?
It's important to start that vaccination campaign because right now, from what we have seen, the majority of cases are in schools. According to the Quebec Public Health Institute, there is an important increase in cases within the people under 10 years old. The report also reveals that a majority of cases are among the 0 to 19 years old, and Grubisik says schools are particularly affected by that increase.
My partner teaches in a huge music school that runs from kindergarten to Sec 5. And so obviously with more than 1,000 kids, the risks are quite different. And there they get letters home almost every week and there's classes closed almost every week still.
Do we have any indication of how it will be received?
People have asked for kids to be vaccinated a long time ago. Health institutes have taken the time to make sure it was safe for the kids to get their shots. The United States has already approved kids' vaccination more than 2 weeks ago, but yet in Quebec, we're still waiting. So people are definitely waiting to have that same opportunity.
Thank you, Delphine. Long-term care homes across Quebec continue to face troubling conditions. Questions of where the situation stands now remain. Melina Levike has that story.
Long-term care homes saw the death of close to 4,000 people in the early months of the pandemic. The province has made improvements since then. According to Sherry McLeod from the NDG Senior Citizens Council, we didn't learn nearly enough from the first wave.
Ageism is rampant in our society. And this is it. This is the evidence that further, you know, that after everything that these people went through, it's the same thing with you know, the issue of systemic racism. You sit there and you go, wow, if that's not enough to show that things are really bad and that we need to put like this as a priority.
The Quebec government launched an initiative to fill 10,000 positions in long-term care homes last June. McLeod says that even though people are being hired, does not guarantee that they stay.
First of all, once they got into it and actually saw what it was like, you know, that's a whole thing. So it's a very, you know, it's the culture of the work. It's the work itself. It's very demanding.
Robert Frank, a political analyst, says that the neglect of long-term care homes lies in the public disinterest in the elderly. With a lack of public interest comes a lack of electoral value from politicians.
When it is not a matter which voters will decide whom to cast their ballot for, it loses the politician's interest because they know it will not be decisive in winning or losing an election.
The public inquiry has exposed that the nightmare for loved ones and their families inside these homes is far from over. Frank says that what happens next lies in how the public chooses to prioritize society's elderly.
It is for us as individuals to place a greater priority on the care of those who gave birth to us and who raised us. And now that they need us, we need to be there for them.
For Concordia News, this is Melina Levesque, NDG.
Montreal's new councillor will be sworn in tonight at City Hall, but four councillors won't be. This comes after judges authorized votes recounts in two Montreal boroughs yesterday. One of these includes the borough mayor of Côte-des-Neiges-NDG. On election night, Ensemble Montréal leader Lionel Perez lost by 212 votes to Gracia Kasoki-Katawa. The recounts are set to begin on Monday. The government of Quebec is holding a day-long conference on innovation in the province as we speak. This, as Quebec is in the midst of a severe worker shortage across industries. Our reporter, Mzwandile Pankana, is at the conference right now. Mzwandile, what are people saying about the worker shortage?
Well, Marie-Catherine, since the event centers on innovation, they're saying lack of workers could really impede innovation. The innovation the government of Quebec is seeking covers a variety of sectors, from medical care to technology. Experts say not having enough workers hinders progress in these fields. I spoke to François Nallet, an expert at the University of Montreal, who says it greatly impacts his work at the university. This is what he had to say.
We see that they are not able to put in place new innovations and stuff like that because of the lack of people.
And what sort of solutions are they suggesting?
Well, experts say funding is important. They stress that investing more in research grants could be one way to incentivize innovation. They also told me that immigration needs to be prioritized more. Bringing in fresh talent from abroad is imperative, they said. I spoke to Franz Saint-Alamy, who is an entrepreneur and the leader of a tech environmental solutions group. He said training new immigrants is equally essential. Here's what he had to say.
It's a huge province, huge country that we can actually bring in, you know, talent, you know, highly educated talent from overseas, from different countries.
What about Premier Legault and other ministers in attendance? What are they saying about innovation in Quebec?
Well, the Premier spoke generally about what the importance of innovation in Quebec is, stressing that the province will start broadly investing more in it. And he also mentioned a range of different sectors, but one that him and the ministers repeatedly emphasized was environmental innovation. The Minister of the Economy, Pierre Fitzgibbon, said that they'd be investing more in green technology. The event has really been filled with all sorts of passionate speeches about innovation and promises from the government. There's a large crowd here of about 70 people, all from the business sector and from the government. And during the speeches, everyone seems to cheer along at the different ideas being focused on today. We'll see what arises from the event. That's all from me.
Thanks, Mzwandile. Quebec will be presenting a new economic update on November 25th, which will address labor shortage, an ongoing issue since the pandemic started. Nonprofit organizations want to be consulted and want Quebec to concentrate on solutions in the long term. Denis Shmulevitch is in the studio to elaborate. So why are some organizations not happy?
Hi, Marie-Catherine. So usually when Quebec announces its mini-budget around this period, it consults local organizations analyzing the economical situation of workers in Montreal. It wasn't the case, though, this year. So here's Carl Blackburn, president of a Quebec Employers Council. He wasn't very happy.
We were not consulted for the mini-budget or for the small budget, and it's why we had this press event last week, and it's why we disclosed this morning a press release.
How bad is the employee shortage exactly?
So there was a recent report on employment in Quebec, and it showed that there's almost 150,000 vacant jobs in Quebec. And really, at the same time, there's thousands of young adults without a job. So the solution doesn't seem simple. There's many of those jobs require training. So I talked with Amna Braham from the IDQ, a nonprofit that analyzes local economics.
So there's a number of reasons. Some are structural. like our population aging. Increasingly, we know that for the next 10 years, we're going to have more people leaving the labor market, retiring, than people entering it, so starting to work and getting a first job. So this is the main structural reason, but we have to keep in mind that we're still in the midst of a pandemic.
And what is the solution to this worker shortage?
So there's been a few solutions proposed. One was to bring in temporary immigrants or send back those aged like 60 and over back into the workforce, right? But the IDQ says that this will help a little bit, but it won't solve the issue. So they believe that it must be tackled with proper worker training. So workers must upgrade their skills if they want to be able to fill out the available jobs. So Braham says that the solution is actually not that hard.
We have the power to change. The government can invest more in education, in training, in skills development to make sure that workers are more mobile, that they can change industry or profession when they need to, and that they can fill the new positions that are going to be created in the future and that will require new skills. We can think about using technology, we can think about automation. So
the IDQ says that solutions must be well thought out and not just a quick patch up. They also want to be actually consulted, as is usually the case, but it wasn't this year.
Thank you, Dennis. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is meeting right now with Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador at the Mexican Cultural Institute of Washington, D.C. It is the first meeting of the Three Amigos Summit that is happening today at the White House. The last summit happened more than 5 years ago. Traditionally a symbolic event, this year's summit will be marked by Canada's aggressive push against U.S. protectionist policies. A new study showed that over 500 Montrealers are forced into inpatient psychiatric care units or to take medications. With all the detail, here is Sarah Eldaba.
The study analyzed almost 550 court orders for care in Montreal from the Superior Court. It says that there's a concerning power imbalance between psychiatric establishments and people who are mentally ill. Jean-François Plouffe, who works with the organization that conducted the study, says that while medication works for some, it should not be imposed on them since it is their right to choose.
There are still citizens that still have rights as you and me, and those rights should be respected.
However, Robert Frank, a political analyst, says that while mental illness is the result of chemical imbalances in the brain beyond the person's control that affect behavior, the government is responsible for everyone's safety.
The government has a role to play if those imbalances cause such a problem that that person becomes a threat to themselves or to others.
Plouffe says that consulting patients will allow professionals to find the best methods of treatment.
The best way to find those methods are to discuss with the person, to make some experience with the person.
The full report will be presented this afternoon at the Saint-Pierre Center. I'm Sarah Eldaba for Concordia News.
According to a study by a group for the blind and partially sighted based in Montreal, only 33% of Quebec websites are fully accessible to people. This is a big issue as there are about 2 million people with visual difficulty in Quebec. Sruti Mata spoke with Anne Farrell of Regroupement des Aveugles et Amblyopes du Québec. She says that this isn't only a Quebec issue.
No, I think it's a general problem everywhere in Canada, basically because the standard, like there's international standard for accessibility on the web for blind people. And those standards are not really applied when the webmaster are doing some website.
How accessible are the existing websites?
The website is accessible for the blind person. Like they can go through the website and they can hear, you know, with a special equipment on their computer, they can hear everything that is written on the website, but they cannot choose to do an appointment.
Is the Quebec government aware that their websites are not accessible?
Yes, they are aware, but it seems that because they do respect some standard, but not every standard. So that's a major issue now.
Is the government working on changing their websites and making them better?
That's what they're saying, but in fact, when you go on their website, we realize that it's not true.
Is this the first time the RAM organization has put forth a request to the government to change their websites?
we've been talking to them for a long time, but it's just like things are not moving very fast. It's a bit slow. So that's why the idea is maybe to go see the students who are now form, who've been trained to do website and tell them about the standards.
Have you started to train web designing students and webmasters?
The strategy would be, well, then why don't we just go and show them the standards that exist there? So then the new webmaster will know about the standards and how to make a website accessible to everyone.
That was Shruti Mata speaking with Anne Farrell of the RAAM. Montreal's new sorting center for recyclable materials in Lachine has been closed for 1 week because of a fire. We are finding out this morning that it was caused by an object that shouldn't have been in the recycle bin, a battery caught on fire on a conveyor system. Batteries are a real problem in sorting centers where they often cause fires. The center was inaugurated in 2019 and cost $45 million. And now in sports, Blue Jays Robbie Ray earns the fifth Cy Young Award in franchise history. Fears over a Chinese tennis star whereabouts increase, and another loss for the Vancouver Canucks. Lola Calder is live in the studio with the latest and greatest sports news.
Round starting to boo. 15 seconds left. It's rifled off the stick. Rettinen gives it up. Here's Landeskog shooting and scoring. Gabe Landeskog a power play.
In last night's hockey games, the Vancouver Canucks lost 4-2 against the Colorado Avalanche's team, making this their fifth consecutive defeat. Looking ahead to tonight's games, the Maple Leafs will face off against the Rangers at 7 p.m., while the Habs go against the Penguins at the same time. And the Edmonton Oilers hope to break their losing streak as they face the Jets at 9 p.m. after losing 5-2 to them on Tuesday.
One possession game. McCollum, no place to go, now puts up a shot. Timeout taken.
In basketball news, the Toronto Raptors will play against Utah Jazz tonight at 9 after losing out against the Trailblazers on Monday.
And seals it with a 14th ace. And it is a 10th semi-final that awaits. He wins the group.
That was Novak Djokovic playing Audrey Rubley yesterday at the NITO ATP Finals in Turin, where he won 6-2, sending him to the semi-finals alongside Daniil Medvedev, who secured his place on Tuesday after beating Alexander Zverev. In other tennis news, Chinese state media released an email on behalf of tennis star Peng Shuai yesterday. This is the first sign of Shuai in over 2 weeks after her noticeable absence, and the Women's Tennis Association's reports that they were unable to reach her. The email follows her allegations from over 2 weeks ago that a powerful Chinese politician has been sexually assaulting her. In it, Shuai dismisses these claims and suggests that she has been resting at home. However, this only seems to have raised more concerns for her safety and well-being, as many claim this email to be
first
forged.
And foremost, I'd like to thank God for giving me the ability to play this game that I love to play. And I'd like to thank my family, thank my kids, my wife, thank everybody for supporting me throughout this tough season.
The most prestigious pitching honor in baseball has been awarded to the Blue Jays' Robbie Ray. Ray won the fifth Cy Young Award yesterday and accepted his win live from home. As for the guffawing heard in the background, well, that's due to his son Asher, whose antics quickly stole the limelight from his father's win.
That was Lola Calder with sports. It's a sad day today for two music stars and maybe a million fans. After 2 years together, pop icons Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes have announced their split. They broke the news to fans on Instagram yesterday. During their relationship, they made a few songs together, but don't expect any collabs to hit Spotify charts anytime soon. It is raining right now at the Loyola campus. Our unusual warm day will not last. The sun will come back tomorrow morning with ups to 4 degrees during the day. The weekend will be colder, but we expect a beautiful sunny Saturday and clouds on Sunday. Rain will start Sunday night and will continue on Monday. Looking ahead to next week, there might be some snow. And that's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Marie-Catherine Goudreau.